We want to turn this morning to the Gospel by Luke, chapter 9. Luke's Gospel account, chapter 9. And we shall begin our reading at verse 57. And let me say, it's nice to be with you again here at Faith Bible Fellowship in the ministry of the Word of God. Luke chapter 9, verse 57, where we read, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven." And may the Lord speak to our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence in the name of thy dear Son, and thank you for the blood and righteousness of him who went to the cross, who is tender and loving, patient and true, as our brethren have just sung. But that Blessed One is also the Lord of heaven and earth. He is the sovereign who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. It is the one to whom we must give an account. And it is he who said, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Therefore we ask thee to so speak to our hearts in this hour, that we may realize in our own souls that the gospel must come unto us in more than word only, that we have a head knowledge of it. It must come in power in the Holy Spirit and with assurance that it changes and directs the whole of our being. Minister to us in this hour for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. I believe that the greatest problem that evangelical Christianity faces today, and I read a lot of journals and a lot of magazines and a lot of articles, I believe that the greatest problem facing us today is a problem of the lordship of Jesus Christ. The great commission which our Lord gave to his disciples before he ascended to heaven was, go and make disciples of all nations. And somehow in the church today, we have separated discipleship from the gospel. And yet the gospel is the message we're to proclaim in the making of disciples. There are people today who claim to be the Lord's. They have, quote, made their decision, unquote, to follow the Lord, but they have no real compulsion to obey the commands of Holy Scripture. And today we want to analyze what we call an excuse that is found here in the passage that we read. An excuse is a broken resolution. And all of us have made excuses at one time or another in our lives. We're great at doing this. And we accept one another's excuses. And the reason we accept one another's excuses is because we make so many ourselves. And we continually excuse one another. Excuses are statements that are made by people in a hopeful state. But then there comes that heavy, withering blow of sin, and that word "but" comes into play. I will follow thee, as we read in verse 61, but. Lord, I will follow you, but. You see, the grave of many a fair resolve, which never attained maturity because of that fatal word, but. It hinders one from being quickened to newness of life. There is not that genuine faith in our Lord. I will follow thee, Lord, but. When we read that, we find that people are no different today than they were during the days of our Savior when he lived on earth. However, the gospel is an unchanging gospel because the disease never changes. The disease of sin is still the same as it always was. And therefore the gospel still is the same as it always was. And the call of God is still the same as it always was, because the disease has not changed. Oh, how many there are today in our day who have had their consciences aroused in a gospel meeting, who've had their judgments enlightened as they listen to the word of the gospel, and yet they vacillate and they halt between one opinion or another. You never can decide which side of the fence they're really on. Are they the Lord's or aren't they the Lord's? They're like Reuben, the son of Jacob, that we read about in Genesis 49. Dear old Jacob comes to the end of his life, and his boys are gathered round his bed, and he looks at his firstborn Reuben, and he says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, but thou shalt never excel. You're as weak as water. You're unstable as water. You'll never excel. And when you follow the line of Reuben to the Old Testament, you find that they never excelled. You know, sometimes we who love the Lord and who long to see genuine conversion have broken hearts. One day my wife and I were in a new roses store that opened in the city of Burlington. We found one of our young men there working for roses who was home from college. He had been to college for maybe a year, maybe only 6 months. But nevertheless, he was home from college. I hadn't seen him for a while. And I looked at him, I called him by name, boy, it's good to see you. He was so embarrassed. He had a wad of tobacco now in his mouth. You see, not that that wasn't what bothered me, the fact that he had a wad of tobacco in his mouth. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, it's what comes out. That's what my Bible says. But I looked at him, and then he had an earring hanging in his one ear. That really bothered me. It really bothered me. And I told him so. And this is what I said to him. I said, you know, when I was coming along, Steve, it was a pervert who had an earring hanging in his ear. Oh, he said, but they had it hanging in the other ear. And you see what bothers me about that? My Bible says, and you see, Stephen made a profession. And only God knows whether he really touched the hem of the Lord's garment and belongs to the Lord. But my Bible says in the book of James, pure religion and undefiled is to visit the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. And you and I are living in a day, friends, when we find a lot of people who are like Reuben. You don't know where they really stand. You don't know if they're saved or lost. They have all the right answers for the right people at the right time. I will follow thee, but. And usually the but takes precedence over following the Lord, because the world has encroached and we don't have any backbone anymore to say, I belong to Jesus Christ. You see, we've forgotten the doctrine of the Lordship of Christ. Tonight I'm going to take up the doctrine of the Lordship of Christ from the book of Ruth. It'll be quite interesting. I hope you can come along. But nevertheless, there are those who claim to be the Lord's. Lord, I will follow thee, but they prefer to lie in bed rather than get up with vigor and enter in at the straight gate. James says, keep yourself unspotted from the world. When I left home this morning, when I got in my car, my suit was spotted. And when I got out of the car, it was all wrinkled, because it was pouring down rain. Had an umbrella, and I was more worried about my books that I carry with me than I was about me, you see. And by the time I climbed in the car, I was soaked. I was all spotted. Oh, you may say, but I was in Raleigh. We got our rain last night. You see, so I went for a walk this morning. You see, and my friend and I were walking down the street and a car came by and hit a puddle. And while it wasn't raining, I became spotted too. And you know, there are a lot of people who are in the place, it seems, day by day, of being spotted by the world. And we make our excuses. I will follow thee, but. And the world holds far more pull on the life of the child of God than the Lord of glory, whom they profess in song when they do meet with the Lord's people that they really follow and they really love. It was so in the days of our Lord. It is so today. When Barry Goldwater was running for the presidency of the United States, he was writing articles in the paper day by day. Our paper in Burlington carried them. Excuse me, in Pennsylvania carried them. He carried his articles. At the end of each article, he had a question. Where do you stand, sir? He was giving the issues, and he asked the question, where do you stand, sir? And I would ask you this morning, as we examine this and analyze excuses, where do you stand in relation to God? Our Lord said, it wasn't me. I didn't say this. He said it. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. That's what he said. The word of God gives us a great illustration of this, for we are told to remember this person. You know who, don't you? We're told to remember. We're told to remember Lot's wife. Why? She's the only person in Scripture who was led from the city of destruction by the hand of an angel and look back, because that's where her heart was. And she was turned into a pillar of salt. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. These are strong words. They're the words of our blessed Lord. Now let us analyze the excuse, or analyze excuses. I will follow thee, but. And you see, the first thing in analysis becomes our objections. Why do we say but? Why do we make excuses? Well, you may say, I'd love to follow the Lord, but my calling prevents it. My calling prevents it. You see, I have to live. And my work calls me to do certain things that are inconsistent with godliness. And in those very words of the excuse that we would make God the author of our sin. Lord, you've called me into a position, but I can't live godly in this position that you've called me into. For certainly, any person's vocation is very important, and we should receive it from God. Where would you have me work, Lord? As in the book of Ruth, you see, when Ruth came back to her mother-in-law, she said, where have you gleaned today? Where did you work today? In whose vineyard have you been working? We can't make God the author of our sin, you see. God has not put you where you are, my friend, if you are compelled to sin. Oh, no. If you are compelled to sin, then you should get up and leave that place at once. It is better to enter a life poor and penniless, without fame and without honor, than to have glory, pomp, and wealth, and to enter into the lake of fire. Our Lord, in his Sermon on the Mount, he said, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better to enter life maimed than to have all your members and to be cast into hell fire. Oh, we can have our objections, and you can say, oh, my calling prevents me from doing it. It is your sin, friends, that made you inconsistent and caused you to give, Lord, I will follow thee, but. That but, you see, it's not your occupation. It is not necessity. It is willfulness that keeps men away from Christ. I will not. Put the saddle on the right horse. Let's be honest. Let's take it home to ourselves. But then there's a second way of analyzing an excuse. Someone may say, oh, my position in life. Do you know what it means to have an ungodly wife? Do you know what it means to have an ungodly husband? I can't carry out my convictions without meeting persecution at home. That is hard to bear. And that's true in a lot of cases. Oh, if I could only start again on a new footing, things would be different. But you see, the Word of God comes back, and our Lord said, if any man will follow me, he's going to be persecuted. He that is not willing to take up his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple, is what our Lord says. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he said, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We must ever remember, if we reject Christ, we're rejecting the crown. There are certain passages in the Word of God that are very important to put together. You remember the day that two brothers sent their mother to the Lord, and they said, you inquire of the Lord for us. Tell him that we'd like to sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand of the Lord in the kingdom. And you remember what our Lord said to the mother of Zebedee's children. And then when you read the Gospel by John, we find that there was a woman who stood by the cross one day when our Lord was crucified. And she had a look at it. It was Salome, the mother of these two boys, the wife of Zebedee. I wonder what she thought as she looked up there at the cross. Do I want my one son to be in the right hand and the other son to be on the left hand now? You see, without the cross, there is no crown. We reject the gospel that is found in the death and resurrection of Christ, and which calls for complete surrender to Him. You can't receive half a person, you know. You can't receive half a person. This business that is abroad today, you can receive Christ as your Savior, then you can receive Him as your Lord, and then you can receive Him as your King, and all this business. You don't receive a half a person. My whole name is Philip Bomberger. And when I come, you don't just receive Philip. You have to take the Bomberger too, you see. And if you ever in the Sunday school hour this morning, you just can't have Lacey. You have to have the buffalo with it, you see, and all that goes with it. And my friend, you just can't have Jesus to be your Savior and an escape mechanism from hell. You must receive Him as the Lord, Jesus Christ. For God has declared that this same Jesus who was crucified is Lord of all. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He is Lord. Whosoever putteth his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. If you cannot bear the reproach of Christ, then you cannot have the riches of Christ. But then you may say in an excuse, but Christ demands too much. Oh, if I followed the Bible, the things that Christ demands, it would demand that I give up all the pleasures that I really love. You see, there are so many things that Christ would ask me to give up if I came. And then I remember the words of the warning in the book of Hebrews concerning Esau. He sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. And there's a multitude of people today who would like to have Christ, but they don't want the reproach of Christ. They don't want the lordship of Christ. They just like an escape. Oh, but there's another way of looking at it. My work takes all my energy. Ever find anybody like that? I cannot help doing. When I come home from work, I need time for myself. I need to relax. I need to have some time off. It is always me, my, and mine. You see, now we need to consider these objections that people have. Lord, I will follow Thee, but... To which our Lord says, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. When we consider these objections, we need to consider verses of the Word of God. I'm thinking of Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved, that word often, it speaks of grace, doesn't it? Doesn't that word speak of grace? He that being often reproved. God could have cut me off the first time He reproved me and I didn't listen. But he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I think of those words in Proverbs chapter 1 concerning the general call of the gospel. God says, because I called and ye refused, no man regarded my invitation. I also will mock when your calamity cometh, when your calamity cometh like a whirlwind. But I believe that the worst thing that comes along with making an excuse, I will follow thee, but it reveals our ignorance. For a person who makes a statement like this is ignorant as to what sin really is. The Holy Spirit of God never opened the eyes to see the end of sin. Where is this thing leading? Where is it leading us? That person is still in the wilderness of their own natural state. They're unable to see through the problem to the end. They're unable. They're ignorant of sin. The Holy Spirit of God has never taught them what it means to be in a state of condemnation before a holy God. And to be in a state of condemnation means exactly what our Lord said in John chapter 3. The wrath of God abideth upon him. He that believeth not, or he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And the wrath of God abideth upon him. And as long as a person is outside of Christ, as long as a person is in a state where they say, I will follow thee, but that person is in under condemnation. You have never felt the burden, nor have you felt the danger of daily destruction. You are ignorant of what the wrath of God is going to be in the world to come. And furthermore, you have no idea of the glory of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look at this and we examine our objections, our ignorance, now let us look at the sin. I will follow thee, but is an expression that puts the negative on everything that went before it. That word but means, I will not follow thee. He said, Lord, I will follow thee, but. You see, that but puts the negative on everything that went before it. In reality, the person who comes and he says that, he's really saying to God, I will not believe in Christ. And that person who makes that excuse, you are neither this nor that. You are halting between two opinions. And this is the hardest kind of a person to ever deal with. This person who's in this condition is hard to deal with. On the one hand, this person knows what they ought to do. It isn't a matter of knowledge. This person knows what they ought to do. On the other hand, this person continues to go the wrong way. And they get away with lame excuses. They get away with it, you see. And the worst thing is, they are blind to their own activities. Have you ever considered the mercy and the long-suffering of God toward his elect? And toward his non-elect. There are two verses in Scripture that should be taken note of very carefully. I want you to turn, first of all, to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, the long-suffering of God. And I want you to look at it, and look at it well, in the light of our Lord's statement. In